Professor Dazzy Bram, we appreciate them very much. I've got some new odds on the remainder of the NFL season. We've got some great games this weekend, and we are thrilled to have Michael Schotte on with us from BleacherReport.com, their NFL national lead writer. Michael, happy holidays. Welcome back in the zone. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, fellas?
Well, I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Fantastic. Now I just got done eating.
I'm excited about the games this weekend, and it starts, of course, with the big matchup in the NFC West with the Niners and the Seahawks. And I guess the Seahawks are probably just a slightly better than what we expected. The Niners are about what we expected, although we certainly were thinking that Alex Smith would be the quarterback at this point in the season. But it's been an interesting year. So talk to me about kind of the lead up to that one and how you expect that matchup to play out this weekend, if you would.
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing about the matchup this weekend is what it could mean potentially for this matchup for the next decade. When you look at these two teams, you see two not only talented defenses, but talented young defenses, and two teams that have, frankly, fantastic young playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. Both teams have some holes. Neither team seems quite ready to be among those elite, you know, Patriots-Packers-type dynasties that we look forward to seeing, but these are two teams that play in the same division. Their fans hate each other for the first time in what's been a decade of literally not caring about one another. And so this has the potential to be a fantastic rivalry. And this game, really more so than even the earlier matchup this season, sets the table for that. And I think it's going to be a great game. I think they're very evenly matched. And the only reason I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the Seahawks in this matchup is because they're the home team. If you put this game in San Francisco, I'd pick the Niners in a heartbeat.
Have you looked at all about the situation and how different it would be? It wouldn't be hugely different, but it would be slightly different had the Seahawks not been awarded a victory they didn't earn against my Packers earlier in the season.
I think for the Seahawks, I think that they're enough ahead of it where, you know, you can never say what if, you know, had that loss.
I can, but I should,
you know,
maybe.
Has that loss carried over into other games or in their preparation for other games? But I think that they've won enough games where they would be in the playoffs or at least exceedingly in the playoff hunt regardless.
Right.
What's interesting, though, however, is because of that loss by the Packers, I believe what it has done is it has actually dwindled the Bears' playoff chances. And so it's kind of, even in the loss, the Green Bay Packers have been able to stick it to the Bears somehow.
I like that, actually. Well, you think about those, Seattle would have 8 wins instead of 9, and the division would be all but wrapped up, I mean, for the most part. I don't know who San Francisco has next week, I guess. I haven't looked at that. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting, though. It's going to be a great one. And then, you know, around here, of course, there's a lot of Cowboys fans, and in spite of that, you know, I guess we can cater to them a little bit. We try to irritate almost everyone. But that is an extremely exciting race in the NFC East. You get three very average records, but it all, I guess, depends how things play out the next couple of weeks. It's going to be fun to watch. So what do you expect to shake out? It looks like RG3 is back for Washington this week. What do you expect to shake out with Washington, the Giants, and Dallas?
Yeah, Washington has proven me wrong personally because a couple of weeks ago they looked like they were on the cusp of something great long term, but that it was too little too late for this season. But what they've been able to do, not only with RG3 under center, but then also with Kirk Cousins under center, has been phenomenal. And it's really shown us that this is a team that has some talent on both sides of the ball, even if they've got some pretty systemic problems on the offensive line, in the defensive backfield. You know, this is not a complete team either, as I referenced before with the Seahawks and the 49ers, but this is a team that is very exciting. And if they can win without Kirk Cousins, they can win with RG3 just about anywhere. And so I see them, you know, making the playoffs out of the division. Whether or not they win the division will have more to do with the New York Giants' fortitude. But I think that the Redskins win this weekend and can make some noise in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, boy, you talk about a total dichotomy when you look at the difficulty of the schedule. Giants are at Baltimore, where Pat says at least two guys on their team are cheating, getting back from injuries. I think Ray Lewis had his arm ripped off, and Terrell Suggs was actually kidnapped by aliens. They're both going to play this week, it looks like, potentially.
And they're still growing. I think they're both up to about 6'5 now.
Quite remarkable. Very amazing. And then you got New Orleans at Dallas. That's a tough game, obviously. And then Washington gets lowly Philadelphia this week. Of course, next week, Washington hosts Dallas. So what a rough two-week run to end the season for the Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you need, I don't want to call it luck, but sometimes you need a little help, whether it's from the schedule makers or whether it's from weather or whether it's from whatever. you need a little help to get to the playoffs as a young and burgeoning team, and I think the Redskins have gotten plenty this season.
So who do you think take the wild cards for the NFC?
In the NFC, I could definitely see the Minnesota Vikings getting there simply on the back of Adrian Peterson. This is the kind of guy you just don't doubt. And then also, I think we talked about the Seahawks. I think that the San Francisco 49ers are going to win that division. I think the Seahawks are going to get in the wild card spot.
Okay, and what about over on the other side, in the AFC?
On the AFC, that's just it's such a big question mark right now. I don't even want to speculate because there's so many teams in such a down AFC this year that you know you could have any number of possibilities. I like the Steelers just because they've been there before, and before I believe something in the NFL, I really like to see it. So I think that one of the two of Steelers and Bengals makes it, and I think it's going to be the Steelers. As for that last team, I mean, honestly, your guess is as good as mine. It's roll the dice because it's a complete crapshoot right now. Which of those teams manages to make it out?
My guess sucks, so my guess is probably not as good as yours. You think? I mean, it looks to me. I'm looking at the standings here. I mean, it looks like Indianapolis.
It should be, and absolutely it should be. But you know, Indianapolis has to play Houston again. And as I said, there's just plenty of teams with how these divisions stack up. There's just so many different teams out there that could sneak into that final spot.
I want to ask you about that Jets quarterback debacle.
That's a good way to put it.
Because, really, how else can you say it, right? I mean, you go from a guy that's your franchise, right? Wouldn't they call him Mark Sanchez, the franchise? To all of a sudden now activating a third stringer to take over for your one and two guy who can't get it done. What's the future of the Jets?
They did set an NFL record this year with most photo spreads by marginal quarterbacks in the history of the league.
Well, yeah, what's the future of the Jets? Is Rex Ryan going to be there? Sounds like Sanchez and Tebow aren't going to be there. What's the inside?
Well, I do think that record of Tim Tebow's is probably actually belongs to Brady Quinn, who's been a third-string quarterback for most of his career and was mostly known for running in the rain in GQ a couple years before Tebow did it. So there's certainly competition for that spot. But what happened to the Jets this season is less about what's on the field and more the fact that their owner purposefully turned what was already a three-ring circus into a full-blown Barnum and Bailey production because he brought Tebow in as a quote-unquote second-string quarterback when his coaching staff never intended to make him any kind of quarterback. Mm. They pretended they could use him in Sperano's Wildcat scheme. They tried him out in some special teams situations. But in the end, the biggest problem with the Jets is not Tim Tebow or Mark Sanchez, et cetera, et cetera. It's that Tony Sperano is still using the same playbook, the same sort of schemes that he was using a decade ago. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work in the NFL. You need to be able to evolve. You need to be able to counterpunch when someone else punches you. And the Jets are not doing that. And even Rex Ryan, to a degree, is not the innovator on defense he was with Baltimore. There's a lot of stagnation on this team. And I think what happened is the storyline, the narrative around Tim Tebow would never fit what their plans were, and I don't know if Woody Johnson knew that. So there has to be some sort of accountability, but I don't think it's going to be with Tannenbaum, who is going to stick with that franchise probably in some capacity, and Rex Ryan, who is too perfect of a coach for that team to leave and has had some success that they're not going to let 1 year sink him. However, if those two remain in whatever capacities they do, Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow have to go this offseason. There's just no question about it.
Yeah, I didn't understand the whole concept there. It's like you got a marginal NFL quarterback, and you're like, okay, we're going to bring in a guy who's less than marginal as an NFL quarterback. That ought to really answer all the problems. So I never saw that as a recipe for success, but so be it. What's your can't-miss game this weekend? I guess San Francisco-Seattle, is that the best game this weekend?
Yeah, I think that's the best game, certainly, to watch, but I also think that the Steelers-Bengals game, that's essentially win or go home, is going to be fun, and I think it's going to be fun in a different way. You know, with Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick showing what they've got, I think those are good enough playmakers to rise above the good defenses both of those teams are bringing, and so we're going to see some exciting play, but also some high-profile, rookie-esque mistakes out of those two. Steelers-Bengals is just going to be a slugfest. If that game ends 6-3, I don't think any of us should be surprised. But on top of that, it's two good passing offenses. So if it ends up, you know, 35-30, we shouldn't be surprised either. Whenever the AFC North teams are facing off and one of them isn't the Browns, you should be watching.
You said, I mean, are they going to put Sanchez on one team and Tim Tebow on the other? That's the only way I could see it in 6-3.
I'd like to see a wrestling match between those two guys.
Oh, I don't think Sanchez has much of a chance in that, do you?
Probably not. No. Oh, he's a tough kid, though. Did you see him? He had to kick one of those defensive linemen off of him during the game the other day.
I'd rather see their girlfriends wrestle.
Hello. Actually, Tebow got dumped.
Did he?
Yes.
Because he's a loser? She's like, I got to get a quarterback who actually plays?
What do you make of that, Michael? He gets dumped by the Jets, and then he gets dumped by his girl.
I didn't see that. Where'd you see that?
I'm pretty sure I'm contractually obligated not to comment on Tebow's relationship status. I don't That's
ESPN
not my area of expertise.
That. Yeah, he works for Bleacher Report, not TMZ.
Not TMZ. ESPN. Well, ESPN has birthday parties for the
Hilton
guy.
Here.
ESPN would have a five-hour special on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But we can talk about things on the field for sure.
There you go.
Well, Michael, he knew a lot about the Brady Quinn photo shoots.
That was big news.
He's a Notre Dame fan.
Sure.
Who ain't? Michael, we appreciate the time, my man, and we need to get you on here in the next couple weeks. There's a lot of interesting things to happen the final 2 weeks of the season. I heard somebody make the argument the other day that last Sunday was the best Sunday of the regular season, he said ever, which was probably an overstatement. But, I mean, to have this many races still open this late in the year, it is pretty awesome.
I think it was probably an overstatement not because last week wasn't awesome, because it certainly was. But what's been crazy about the NFL this season is that there's been tons of weeks where we thought we had the narrative locked down, and then all of a sudden the NFL just flipped it on its head, basically as if to say, you thought you knew something about football, let me tell you differently. So there's plenty to look at this weekend as well, and even into week 17, which is usually just a rest week. I think there's going to be plenty of races still up for grabs, so I'll look forward to talking to you then.
Who is your, one last thing before we let you go, who's your rookie of the year at this point?
My rookie of the year at this point, I have a vote for this award, and I honestly think if it happened today, I would give it to Russell Wilson. And I don't think he'll win, but I think if he were playing for the New York Jets, he would be a runaway favorite. I think that Andrew Luck and RG3 have been special, but what Russell Wilson has done has been absolutely marvelous, and he wasn't supposed to. So I think he would get my award right now, but there's still plenty Luck and RG3 can do in the last couple of games to sway me.
Because I heard guys talking about it on one of the shows yesterday, and they said, my vote's for Luck, even though RG3 has better numbers. And I'm thinking, well, then why do you want to give it to Luck? I mean, both teams are having success. I mean, I didn't get that, but whatever. But, yeah, you threw me a curve right there. Nice. That's why we bring you on. Brilliant.
What about MVP? Who's leading that race?
MVP, I would give
same
to
race,
Adrian Peterson right now, just because if you – there's so many ways to talk about valuable, and it's really a subjective term. So yeah. I'll talk about valuable in this way. If you took away Adrian Peterson and even put an average running back on the Minnesota Vikings, they would not be anywhere near the playoff race right now. Last year we saw a below-average quarterback on the Broncos, and they were in the playoffs. So I think that if you break down value that way, I think Peterson has to be the pick. But if you break down value purely statistically, maybe you give it to Manning, even Brady. There's plenty of different ways to break down the subjective award, but I think for my money, I would give it to Adrian Peterson.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, Michael,
thank you,
very
brother.
Good. Very good stuff. I like that. Michael, we appreciate it. We'll catch up with you here again soon and talk about, maybe the next week. Maybe
Have a Merry Christmas and enjoy the Feast of the Seven Fishes Christmas.
I don't even know
Absolutely,
what that is.
You guys as well. Have a great day.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate
it's
it very much.
It's a Portuguese thing.
Feast of the Seven Fishes. That's what we're having this year at the Bradley household.
Enjoy that. I'm going to have a feast of one salad here.
You know
right
what I'm going to get you, pal?
What's that, big guy?
A Tatuaje. Tatuaje. Do you know what that is? It's a top-selling cigar right now at Maduro.
That sounds good because I don't want any ink on me.
Tatuaje.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Kevin Wilson. How about that? Can we do that?
Sure. I'm going to finish my salad. Michael Peace was in yesterday from Maduro and Lisa, the number one sales associate in the world, according to CigarAficionado.com. I just made that up, but she is the best. Maduro, located at 109 Main Street. You know, I talk about it all the time, downtown Little Rock. That's just steps away from the Statehouse Convention Center. Cool place down there. Get out and about this holiday season. You're going to have some time.